From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of February 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the CME wants to adjust the weights used to calculate its feeder cattle index. USDA believes the government has very few options that would slow the ethanol boom. And China is mulling the possibility of cutting import taxes on food items. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures were higher. The nearby March contract and the soft red winter wheat at $8.50¾ a finish 13¾ higher. May futures at $8.83½, up 14 cents. And July $9.13¾, up 16. September futures $9.38, 16½ higher. December contract at $9.50¾, up 16½. March corn futures $7.12¾, up 22¼ a bushel. The May at $7.23, up 22. July $7.26¾, 22¼ higher, and the September corn $6.62, up 22¾. December futures $6.15¼, up 23¼ for the day. March soybean futures at $14.04½, up 38½. The May at $14.16½, up 38. In July, $14.23¾, 38½ higher. August at $14.08, up 40¾ cents. November futures in the bean pit at $13.73½, up 44¾ cents. March bean meal futures settled at $3.70-$2.70, up $8.40. March bean oil at $58.25, up $1.64 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the February contract $1.27½ higher at $110.27½. April futures at $115.10 were up $0.92½, and March feeder cattle at $130.60 were up $0.125 for the day. April contract $132.37½, up 15. April lean hogs at $92.17½, up 27½ cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. March crude oil futures, $86.33 a barrel, up $1.34. Ethanol at $2.50½, up 6½ cents. Natural gas at $3.86¾, down 5¾. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 4 cents lower at $2.73¾. And the gold futures on the day, up 10 bucks at $1,384.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,315, now just about 27 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 78 even, down 0.21. And the CRB index for the day at 341.27, 3.06 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, the high near 65 degrees. It'll be breezy. South-southwest winds around 22 miles an hour, though gust as high as 33 miles an hour. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of just 46 degrees. Breezy south-southwest winds at 19 to 22. Becoming out of the west at 11 to 14. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 54 degrees still. West-northwest winds between 10 and 16. The high of 23. Friday night, partly cloudy, the low below freezing at 29 degrees. Winds out of the north at 3 to 10, and Saturday the high still 50 degrees. North and northeast winds at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Saturday night a 30% chance of rain after midnight, mostly cloudy. The low then should be 37. On Sunday, a 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy. A high near 50 degrees. And Sunday night a chance of rain and snow, cloudy. A low of 33 degrees. By the time we get to Washington's birthday on Monday, a chance of rain, cloudy, high near 36. Monday night, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low of 22. Tuesday should be partly sunny with a high near 39 degrees. Tuesday night, a low of 26. And Wednesday, sunny with a high of 43.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It is a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, is traveling today. He's at the Big Farm Show in Louisville, Kentucky. Joins us by cell phone. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time.
More than welcome, Todd.
You are in Louisville, right?
Yes, I am. I'm in the north wing of the Expo Center. Freedom Hall is, of course, right next door where the tractor pull is going on over the next few nights.
Oh, well, I was going to say, is it going on now? Because we'll hear it pretty shortly if it is, but apparently
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I got to say, last night we went to the tractor pull, and they had probably one of the largest super modified classes I've seen. It was enough to, between the fumes and the noise, they chased an old guy like me out of there.
You know what, you didn't wear your earplugs, or you just said the heck with it?
I just said the heck with it and covered my ears, but the fumes were pretty heavy after several of them ran. But, boy, I tell you what, those guys must have more money than they know what to do with to have one of those machines.
They are big, big machines. Hey, speaking of getting yourself covered, what do you think of the turnaround today in the marketplace?
Well, it started yesterday. Tuesday, I think, was I kind of view it as kind of what we call as flash breaks with electronic trading. You have those every once in a while, and I think Tuesday was one of those flash breaks. It took till Wednesday morning to kind of flush everything out, and then the market started coming back yesterday, and we closed, you know, kind of unchanged on corn and only down a nickel or so on beans. So I think that kind of absorbed all of the selling pressure, and the sellers were pretty absent as we went an overnight trade, and, of course, we were able to extend those advances. March corn made new highs for the move here, so that pretty well negates that potential reversal down that was in the making for the week. These corn is still 2 to 3 cents behind for the week, but if we have a good day tomorrow, then these corn closes higher for the week. So chart action, I think, is very constructive, but we do need to see another good close, I think, tomorrow. And then I think the market's probably in good shape to go right on up through the top as the old crop corn did, and see where that takes us anyway.
I want to flesh something out just to make sure that I've got this right. You suggested that there weren't many sellers in the marketplace. To this point, it's been a pretty orderly market on the way up. That means there's plenty of buyers and sellers both. When it starts to get thin in the trade, that usually is a problem. I don't think that's what you really meant today, but it is. You tell me.
No, what I meant is that the selling pressure that was created basically from Monday's reversal down, which accelerated in Tuesday, and we had a real hard down day on Tuesday, that selling pressure was pretty well absorbed by the first half of yesterday's trading session. So then the market was able to come back, and it kind of closed, unchanged yesterday. So that set the market up then for new technical buying in overnight trade, and that extended here today.
Do you think that anybody's being rationed out of this marketplace yet?
Yeah. There's some of it going on. The big question is how much and to what extent. And but, yes, there is no doubt that we are beginning to see some rationing around the edges, which is always scary because you don't know when that finally tips off the scale. But I think the market, for the most part, is more worried about what we're going to raise next year, worried about overall world food supply shortages and tightening. And if you look at the cotton market today, it was sharply higher, new record highs, and that's what kind of help bring the beans back 40 cents here on new crop, because the market's kind of feeling that beans might get left out when you take a look at cotton prices and you look at what corn prices are trying to do. So beans decided to come along here for the ride.
Being that you're a little further than south than usual, have you had conversations with cotton producers about their plans? And why is it that that market, is, which is a fiber market, is moving so sharply higher?
Well, cotton producers, I'm sure there's a few around here, but they have their own show in a couple weeks, I
in
think.
Texas,
they have,
right.
This is mostly a lot of corn, soybean, wheat farmers. I mean, we got them from Ontario, Canada, from Minnesota. I mean, I think this is widely attended throughout. I think this has got probably as many different people coming to this as probably the Farm Progress Show does in the Midwest. But cotton, I'm not real familiar with the supply-demand tables on cotton, but I do know that China's been an active buyer for cotton and clothes, and I think the whole mode here is to own raw commodities, just about anything, because everybody's betting on inflation to come. And I mean, it doesn't take you long to figure out, looking at the prices of equipment down here and the markups that they're getting. Tire prices, I think, are going up 20% here. So everything's starting to really jump up that has anything to do with raw commodities, whether it's steel or corn or soybeans.
So the fact of the matter is simply that we have 300 extra million miles to feed out of China, middle class, another 200 million out of India coming into middle class, and they want food and fiber, and the world has to supply it, and it has to be redistributed, so prices are going higher.
Well, that's, I think that summarizes it. I mean, I kind of think history doesn't repeat itself exactly, but there's a lot of similarities. What we see here today is what we see in the 70s. And basically what these higher prices are about is basically sending signals to producers throughout the world to expand acreage, increase productivity, because the world needs the demand, needs the supply. I know tomorrow things could change and all of a sudden we look at this as maybe a big bubble in prices. I'm not in that camp. I think volatile prices and high prices are going to be around for a few years until it got everybody convinced that we're in a new era, Todd.
What is the producer to do at this point? And I'm thinking of new crop only, corn and beans.
Well, I'm going to stay the course. Been telling guys, as long as we're following a normal seasonal pattern, you've got time to pull the trigger. But I think, you know, everybody has to kind of do their own thing and what they feel comfortable with. My shorter term technical targets on these corn is in the 6.25 to 660. I think those are areas to maybe lay off some inventory if they're wanting to kind of look at a spot to lay some off. I got these November beans, creeping up into this $13.75 to $14 area. That's probably a place to lay off some beans. So, I think there's some opportunities here to lay off some inventory, but the trend is the farmer's friend right now, and, you know, he has to take 1 week at a time.
I know that this is a more difficult question I want to ask. If you think that higher prices sometimes cure high prices, but in this case it's supposed to bring in more production, whether that's in productivity or more acres, is it possible? Do you think, can it be done?
You mean for this current year?
No, I mean for the long term.
Long term. Well, a lot of it, there's new lands to develop all over the world, but a lot of it is going to come from increased productivity, new genetics and seeds, precision farming. I mean, there's a lot of room to bring up the average yield of both corn and soybeans in many places in the world. So it's basically to give them the money to do that, whether it's more irrigation, more fertilizer used, new technology, new machinery.
Better hybrids.
I think that's where we're at. And, you know, hopefully the seed corn companies come on board with, and maybe we get this national average U.S. yield on up into the 190 bushel range. So that's what this is all about. That's my take on it. Eventually, we're going to overdo it, just like we did in the 70s, and we'll have another major farm depression sometime like we had in the mid-80s, but I think that's a few years away.
Well, on that sobering note, I'll let you go, but I bet that everybody's in a pretty good mood there in Louisville today.
Well, they are after they saw the markets today. I think this Monday-Tuesday deal kind of worked on everybody a little bit. But after today, they got their checkbooks out, and I think they're probably buying product. That's what I told them all when they went by the booth. I said, you're rich today. You know, go get that thing bought that you were looking at.
Yeah, my brothers always said they wish they had a money-o-meter on the bin to see what they made and lost on that day. Hey, Dan, thank you so much.
Okay, Todd.
You have a good
Take
one.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here's Dave with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, CME Group is looking to slide up the cattle weights used to compute its feeder cattle index to reflect that cattle are being placed in feedlots at heavier weights. The last time CME changed its feeder cattle index was in 2005. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association voted at its national convention earlier this month to support removing 650 to 699-pound weight range cattle and adding 850 to 899-pound cattle to the index, which essentially slides the weights higher by 49 pounds. USDA Chief Economist Joe Glauber says that the government has few options to slow down the ethanol boom. Glauber says, quote, "This isn't a question of just saying cut it off. It's much more complicated than that." Glauber's comments came as he was meeting with the Commodity Markets Council at a conference in Palm Beach, Florida, where he was questioned closely by attendees. China's Ministry of Commerce is asking other ministries to consider potential cuts in import taxes on a range of goods, including food, in a move seemed aimed at taming rising inflation. Details are still being discussed. Officials from China's Commerce and Finance Ministries declined to comment. The EU has temporarily suspended its import duties on feed, wheat, and barley, raising the prospects of purchases from Australia amid tight feed supplies and high global prices. European Union government experts approved plans to set the bloc's 12 euro per ton duty on feed wheat and 16 euro per ton duty on feed barley at zero until June 30th of this year. The Andersons says profits soared in the latest quarter. The company posted a profit of $25.8 million, or $1.39 a share, up from $16.2 million, or 88 cents a share a year earlier. The grain and ethanol segment, the company's largest by profit, posted a record profit for the quarter as earnings jumped 39% to $38.8 million. China Ministry of Agriculture officials say that China's ongoing drought in northern wheat areas is likely to continue, threatening the winter crop. The drought is likely to further develop in northern wheat areas in the second half of this month, as waterfalls will be less than normal, while the temperature will be higher according to weather forecasts. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. Now, up next, the Extension Agricultural Engineers on this campus have been working on a cheap and easy biofilter for hog house fans. As you'll hear, they may have found a usable solution to keep down the smell. The problem with biofilters is that they cost a lot, too much, in fact. A pig farmer cannot afford to buy one and still make money. Ted Funk wondered if it might be possible to build one from things already on the farm, or that were cheap to buy and easy to set up. As it happens, the answer is a sweet-smelling yes.
The materials we're using for the container are mainly built around the precast silo stave, so that 30-inch long silo stave, 10 inches wide, and it's something that you can pop together in a fairly short order. It doesn't require any poured and reinforced concrete. We're using fairly inexpensive materials for flooring, that is for this porous floor that the air comes up through. We're concentrating on things like wood pallets and chicken flooring, things like that, that are easily accessible, easy to work with, and fairly low cost.
It works, and Ted Funk says if a farmer were to contact him at the University of Illinois, he could provide enough design information for the farmer to build one. It'd be worth it, too. Here's how the biofilter does the job.
Well, a biofilter is just a layer of organic medium. Think of it as, say, wood chips with some compost mixed in. And what happens if that medium is kept moist, you get a bacterial film growing on the outside of those particles. You get a biofilm that's able to capture these odorous chemicals in the air coming from our ventilation fans, and they're able to use those as nutrients, and then what they spit out is something that doesn't have any odor, carbon dioxide, water. So they are able to, the biofilter is able to reduce odors typically 80 to 90%, which is almost magic.
It's almost magic because the smelly air goes in, and when it comes out a few seconds later, it doesn't smell.
We designed these biofilters to have a retention time of, say, 5 to 15 seconds of the air in the filter. And that's, you know, an average retention. We call it an empty bed retention time. So, you know, it does take some time because a couple processes have to happen. First, those gases have to be adsorbed into that biofilm, that moist biofilm. And then the bacteria get a chance to work on them. So they're captured first in the biofilm, and then they're degraded into something that doesn't have an odor.
Funk says the wood chips in the biofilter should last about 3 years. The old ones, just compost now, could be spread like manure. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, thanks for staying with us here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon. And here's a tip. There are just nine tickets left for All Day Ag Outlook, and then there will be no more, and there will be no walk-in. So if you've been waiting around and thinking, hey, I better get on the phone and make that phone call to get one of those tickets, now's the time. Here's the number. It's 800-528-7980 for All Day Ag Outlook over at the Beep House. Just nine tickets left. 800-528-7980. I'll repeat it one more time. Let's see if we can sell her out this afternoon or tomorrow morning. And we'll finish her off. It's the 8th day of March. That's a Tuesday. The number again, 800-528-7980. I'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt will be here on the Closing Market Report.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius was born. A German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died. An American microbiologist, he invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steep liquor, a byproduct of the corn starch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast today is Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, as we look forward into the month, we probably ought to talk about what the National Weather Service has released on this third Thursday. Usually, as we get to the eighth day or the second Tuesday of March, which is when our Ag Outlook meeting is held over at the Beef House, there's a really good likelihood that we'll get a snowstorm. I think maybe one in 3 years. What does USDA say will happen over the next, or USDA, the National Weather Service say will happen over the
okay.
next month or so?
Well, the 30 days, the forecast for March is for below normal temperatures across the northern tier of states from the Pacific Northwest to the Great Lakes, above normal temperatures in the southern Great Plains across the lower Mississippi Valley, and mostly normal conditions further east. So most of the Midwest, they're forecasting normal weather, but with cold to the north and warm to the south, one would expect a frontal system to be in there, and that probably says something about their chance of there being some precipitation, possibly snow.
And
The precipitation forecast does call for above normal precipitation in the Midwest for the month of March. Centered in Ohio, but extending back through Illinois to the west and eastward to the Appalachians. Dry weather in the southern plains, which may become very important later on in this growing season, and dry in up through the far southwest, wet in the Pacific Northwest. The forecast for spring, if you want to extend from March, April, and May, has that dryness that you just mentioned in the southern plains continuing in the west portions of the central plains, and this is a crucial time for winter wheat, which has been in bad shape for most of the season, and they've had droughty conditions there, and they can ill afford to have a continuation of the drought. Fortunately, the dryness does not extend all through the Midwest, and there are equal chances of forecast for that region. As far as temperatures are concerned, it shows a relaxation in the warm temperatures in the south. The cooler temperatures, though, prevail through the spring right across the northern Great Lakes and about normal temperatures across the Midwest.
Do you disagree with anything you see?
No, I think that's a pretty good forecast. It's based on the Pacific changes in the Pacific circulation patterns, which they're finally getting the hang of now, and that's compatible with that. I see plenty of opportunity for cool air remaining, and it's been a slow change for the National Weather Service over the last 6 months on their long extended forecast to gradually take the heat out of the northern part of the U.S. As a matter of fact, when you take this forecast through the summer months, it has temperatures normal in the Midwest, not the usual hot weather forecast that we've been so used to the last few years.
Pete, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Here's that number again if you still want to get one of those 9 tickets. I haven't checked if there's still 9 left. I doubt it, but the number is 800-528-7980. Call now, 800-528-7980, to get your ticket for the All Day Ag Outlook. That's the closing market report on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.